Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning to you all and welcome. We start today with a review of a letter by Pope Francis and some words from the Dalai Lama. In his new encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, which means brothers all in English, Pope Francis says the coronavirus pandemic has proven that market capitalism has failed and that the world needs new approaches to promote dialogue and solidarity and to reject war at all costs. Released on 4th of October 2020, the feast day of St. Francis, the letter draws its inspiration from the saint's teachings as well as the Pope's preaching on the injustices of the global economy and its destruction of the planet. Fratelli Tutti links these concerns with his call for greater human solidarity to confront the dark clouds over a closed world.
The Pope began writing the encyclical before the pandemic struck, but says the global crisis has confirmed his belief that current political and economic institutions must be reformed. He says, aside from the differing ways that various countries responded to the crisis, their inability to work together became quite evident. Anyone who thinks that the only lesson to be learned was the need to improve what we were already doing or to refine existing systems and regulations is denying reality. Pope Francis continues, "It is my desire that, in this our time, by acknowledging the dignity of each human person, we can contribute to the rebirth of a universal aspiration to fraternity, fraternity between all men and women."
Pope Francis cites the loss of millions of jobs as a result of the virus as evidence of the need for politicians to listen to popular movements, unions, and marginalized groups. Denouncing populist politics that seek to demonize and isolate, Francis calls for a culture that promotes dialogue, solidarity, and a sincere effort at working for the common good. For example, he rejects the concept of an absolute right to property for individuals, stressing instead the social purpose and common good that must come from sharing the earth's resources. He repeats his criticism of the perverse global economic system, which he says consistently keeps the poor on the margins while enriching the few, an argument he made powerfully in his 2015 environmental encyclical Laudato Si, which means praised be.
The new encyclical reaffirms Pope Francis's views on the need to welcome and value migrants. He cites the biblical parable of the Good Samaritan, whose charity, kindness, and offering help to strangers form the basic decision we need to make in order to rebuild our wounded world. He says that a theme so ancient is spoken with such urgency now. Dr. Anna Rowlands, professor at Catholic Social Thought and Practice at UK's University of Durham, who was among those who introduced the encyclical at the Vatican, said that a theme so ancient is spoken with such urgency now is because Pope Francis fears a detachment from the view that we are all really responsible for all related to all entitled to a just share of what has been given for the good of all.
Francis reiterates his previous rejection of both the nuclear arms race and the death penalty, which he says is inadmissible in all cases. His call for greater human fraternity, particularly to promote peace, is derived from his 2019 joint appeal with the Grand Imam Ahmad al-Tayyib, head of Sunni Islam in al-Azhar, the ancient seat of learning in Cairo. Their human fraternity document declared that God has created all human beings equal in rights, duties and dignity, and has called them to live together as brothers and sisters.
The Pope writes that Fratelli Tutti is intended for a wider audience than Catholics. He says, I offer this social encyclical as a modest contribution to continued reflection in the hope that, in the face of present-day attempts to eliminate or ignore others, we may prove capable of responding with a new vision of fraternity and social friendship that will not remain at the level of words. Although I have written it from the Christian convictions that inspire and sustain me, I have sought to make this reflection an invitation to dialogue among all people of goodwill.
And here we have some excerpts from Fratelli Tutti. When we speak of the need to care for our common home, our planet, we appeal to that spark of universal consciousness and mutual concern that may still be present in people's hearts. Those who enjoy a surplus of water, yet choose to conserve it for the sake of the greater human family, have attained a moral stature that allows them to look beyond themselves and the group to which they belong. How marvelously human! The same attitude is demanded if we are to recognize the rights of all people, even those born beyond our own borders.
In the first Christian centuries, a number of thinkers developed a universal vision in their reflections on the common destination of created goods. This led them to realize that if one person lacks what is necessary to live with dignity, it is because another person is detaining it. Saint John Chrysostom summarized it in this way: not to share our wealth with the poor is to rob them and take away their livelihood. The riches we possess are not our own, but theirs as well. In the words of Saint Gregory the Great, when we provide the needy with their basic needs, we are giving them what belongs to them, not to us. Solidarity means much more than engaging in sporadic acts of generosity. It means thinking and acting in terms of community. It means that the lives of all are prior to the appropriation of goods by a few.
It also means combating the structural causes of poverty, inequality, the lack of work, land and housing, the denial of social and labor rights. It means confronting the destructive effects of the empire of money. Solidarity, understood in its most profound meaning, is a way of making history, and this is what popular movements are doing. And that was from Pope Francis's address to participants in the meeting of popular movements back in 2014. And we're continuing now with more from Pope Francis. We need to develop the awareness that nowadays we are either all saved together or no one is saved. Poverty, decadence, and suffering in one part of the earth are a silent breeding ground for problems that will end up affecting the entire planet. If we are troubled by the extinction of certain species, we should be all the more troubled that in some parts of our world, individuals or peoples are prevented from developing their potential and beauty by poverty or other structural limitations. In the end, this will impoverish us all.
So now on to words from the Dalai Lama. And the heading for this article, also from December 2020 issue of Xiaozhi National Magazine, is Compassion and Optimism, Wise Words from the Dalai Lama. And it starts with a quote: life is holy. There is no justice without compassion and mercy. His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, recently gave an interview to Krishnan Guru Murthy on the UK's Channel 4 YouTube channel. A shortened version appears on Channel 4 News countrywide. The interview marked the forthcoming publication of the book titled Our Only Home, A Climate Appeal to the World. Although the Dalai Lama talked directly to the horrors of climate change, his optimism, humour and joy were infectious. We may be familiar with his recommendations, but hearing the way he expressed them made what we might feel to be an intractable problem seem solvable. He persuades us that a better world is possible.
Above all, the Dalai Lama emphasized the need for an understanding of the oneness of all being, both among nations and individuals. No matter what our differences, we have to acknowledge our interdependence and cooperate to tackle this climate emergency. A self-centered attitude creates fear, while acceptance that we all share one life fosters compassion and peace of mind. His Holiness urged the United Nations to assume its responsibility, but democratically, not bound by the Security Council, for the planet's well-being and for the big nations to turn resources from war to ecology. On the individual level, he stressed the importance of education to foster compassion, non-violence, and peace of mind.
The Dalai Lama's answer to the question, could he be the last Dalai Lama, demonstrated how he lives in the present. He is not concerned about his succession, only with doing whatever he can to help the world while he lives. And then maybe he will, as he says, go to the moon, or, which sounded like his humorous way of saying, please don't ask, I have to focus on the here and now.
Right. And, okay, now we have a wonderful article coming up that was first published in 1982, and it's written by Benjamin Krem, and it's entitled Spirituality, Part 1. The word spiritual does not refer to religious matters so-called, all activity which drives a human being forward towards some form of development, physical, emotional, mental, intuitional, social. If it is an advancement of his present state, is essentially spiritual in nature. In that statement from Education in the New Age, the Master Dewal Kul, DK for short, I believe, focuses the complete shift in emphasis that must be made in our relationship to the world and reflects a completely new approach to activities other than the strictly religious.
He also said that the monopoly of the word spiritual, which the orthodox religious groups seized for themselves, has been the greatest triumph of the forces of evil on this planet. The general view is that whatever is religious is spiritual, whereas all other activities are either profane or mundane. So we can go to church on Sunday and spend the rest of the week forming the most corrupt, dishonest, and irrational political, economic, and social structures and conditions. We have separated the religious life from every other aspect of our being and have relegated it to a limited role called the inner life. This has allowed us in our outer lives to live corruptly and dishonestly and has resulted in the difficulties which now face the world, so that we now face the possibility of total destruction at the touch of a button. We have prostituted science, just as we prostitute every aspect of divine knowledge, to the mammon that is at the opposite role to our inner divine nature, a divinity which we have recognized only in religious terms and in the religious field.
We do not see man as a spiritual being, except when he enters a church or adheres to some particular religion. Therefore, all structures, political, economic, or social, that deny a religious connotation to life, for instance, the present-day system in the communist world, are considered deeply evil. Indeed, aspects of their social organization may be evil. The totalitarianism, the denial of individual freedom, is definitely evil. But to a large extent, they are based on profoundly spiritual principles, justice, equality, and fraternity, which are at the root not only of the French Revolution, but every revolution since that time.
In this coming time, we shall have to make a shift in consciousness to include every aspect of our being in our definition of spiritual. All our structures must be based on the inner oneness of humanity and reflect that reality. As souls, we are one. There is no such thing as a separate individual soul. We have to create political, economic, and social systems which allow that inner divinity to express itself. Today, we have built systems which are based on the wrong principles: competition, division, separatism, inequality, and in direct opposition to the inner reality. The inner reality is man's oneness, a shared divine nature that is potential in every single human being, which needs the correct outer forms to allow that inner radiance to be expressed.
Much of the violence today is the result of the inner tension between man's knowledge of himself, inwardly perceived, and his inability to manifest that recognition on the outer plane. He feels he has no control over the political and economic structures that put him into sharply divided categories, a caste system. He reacts against the outer circumstance that bears no relation to his sense of himself as a divine being. He is at war with himself and as an extension of himself, with the society of which he is a part. This is at the root of a great deal of the present social tension and violence in the world. Only by a re-education of humanity into the knowledge of the true constitution of man as a threefold reality, spirit, soul, and personality, and of the law of cause and effect in its relation to the law of rebirth, can a true expression on the physical plane of a man as a soul take place.
Looks like we have time to read out another article. This one is from Benjamin Krem's Master, originally published in the September 2007 issue of Shea International Magazine. The title is Man's Divinity. Deep in the consciousness of all men is the awareness of the divine. With some, it is nearer the surface of the mind. In others, it lies relatively unknown and undiscovered until some major event or stimulus awakens it from sleep. Thus, some affirm readily the existence of the divine, while many reject, often heatedly, the reality of all that cannot be known, measured, and understood by their five senses. Today, many are sensing more and more the presence of Maitreya, whose energies penetrate all the planes of consciousness. They may know not the name or even of his existence, but responding to his energy, are aware of a new and spiritual climate in the world. They find it difficult to explain, but know with growing certainty that they live in the aura of the divine and that all will be well. They know too that they are not alone, that their prayers are being answered and that something wonderful and sacred is happening on planet Earth. They sense that the stressful and dangerous conditions of today are nearing their end, that beyond the fear and failures of our time is a new and better world to be fashioned, and that it will be so fashioned.
Meanwhile, Maitreya prepares to engage with all that hinders man's progress and well-being, with all that prevents the expression of his divinity, and also with man's own fear and frailty. He will show that man has come from the highest source and is equipped with all the potential of gods, that freed from the fear which holds him in thrall, man can build a civilization worthy of his divinity and creative genius. He will show that fear and lack of trust alone condemn men to the present dangerous conditions which threaten their existence, that the simple act of sharing will bring justice and peace to their troubled world, that men must recognize themselves as one group, sons of the one Father. Thus will he speak. Thus will he call on men to change. How will men respond? How will they find Maitreya's analysis of their position and problems? Maitreya is not alone in urging change and reform in the world. Many wise men and women are responding to his thoughts and energy and propound widely his ideas. Slowly but surely, these ideas are taking root and educating large masses of hitherto uninterested and uncommitted people. Thus is Maitreya's way being prepared. Even so, how can Maitreya touch the hearts of the millions needed to change direction? The answer lies in the potency of his energies. Never before has a teacher of such power stood before the world. With each word uttered, his beneficent force flows from heart to heart. Useless and unnecessary is argument and debate. His truth calls forth the truth in the heart of the listener, and in the crucible of their shared divinity is recognized as truth itself. And that was from September 2007, as Megan said.
Thank you very much for listening in today. If you'd like further information, we recommend checking out the website share-international.org, or you could email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Love and blessings to you all.